Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Our first reading in Exodus is a recipe and a reminder. That Exodus story recalls the night of unspeakable violence when Pharaoh, afraid for his own safety, commenting to one of his advisors that there are more of them than us, worried about things, has begun to continue the slavery of God's people. Moses and Aaron have come and have challenged. And on this night of unspeakable violence, God instructs the people. They have endured so much for so long. Children killed, slaves crushed underfoot. And this night, in our Exodus story, God says to people, look, you need to take a lamb. You need to cook it, just one for the whole family and two if needed. And you shall roast it over a fire, and you shall eat none of it raw or boiled in water. Be ready, do it standing up, don't recline. Be ready to go. Loins girded, sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down the firstborn. I am the Lord. It's a strange reading for this night. Unspeakable violence met with unspeakable violence. It's a strange way to imagine God in these days. But we are becoming accustomed to unspeakable violence. And the people of Israel would become accustomed to being rushed off their feet and out of their neighborhood from one place to another, to another, and to another. As much as any people, the people of Israel have known what it means to be hated for who they are, for their religion, for their culture, for simply being a Jew. Earlier this week, we saw yet again more unspeakable violence. You probably saw the video of a man running up and kicking a Filipino woman, 65 years old, in the gut and knocking her to the ground, and then proceeding to stomp on her head and kick her while shouting racial slurs at her. One of 1,000 incidents of growing violence against Asians and Pacific Islanders that is growing like a cancer in our country. The video was hard to watch. But for me, there was something even harder to watch. If you can stand to watch the video to the end, you will see three people standing inside the lobby of the building near where she was beaten. And one of the men reaches forward as the assailant walks away. One of the men reaches forward and pushes the door closed. There she is, bleeding and hurt on the sidewalk, and he calmly pushes the door closed. As if by that simple act, one could shut out the truth of what was happening and simply get on with one's life. In so much of our lives, we seek to simply close the door on hard truths and unpleasant realities. I'm sure that day in Egypt, they wished that they could have simply closed the door on all the hurt that was happening, closed the door on the violence that God was about to do, closed the door on a history of pain and slavery and injustice and hopelessness. But it turns out that's not what we're called to. Throughout this last part of John, you will hear again and again the disciples wanting to close the door on the harsh reality that Jesus is teaching them. He says to them, I'm going to die. It is the only way. It is my way. But they don't want that. And so finally, at the festival of the Passover in John, Jesus is there with the disciples. And John even prequels what's going to happen by saying, now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his time had come to depart this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And knowing that, he proposed something absolutely radical. Something unthinkable. There he sits and he begins that night as they sit at table. He takes out his outer robe and he ties a towel around his waist. He pours water into a basin and he begins to wash their feet. And Simon Peter says, shut the door. You're not doing that. He washes their feet. A true reversal of what any of us would have expected in that situation. And in doing so, he begins to open up in the disciples the opportunity to see things anew. In a new light. And in a new way. And over Simon Peter's protestations, when he says, you gonna wash my feet? And Jesus says, yes. And Peter says, you will never wash my feet. And in a more poetic way than I would put it, Jesus says, you just watch me. And he washes their feet. And he says, what I have done for you, I have done as an example of what I want you to do for the world. It's a powerful moment. It is so different than what we would expect. And Jesus looks at those who are with him and he says, do you know what I have done to you? Do you know what I've done to you? You should do this as well. Do you know what Jesus has done to you? It's something that I think we would sometimes like to just shut the door on. Jesus has said, it seems to me, that we as who call ourselves people of the Word and the body of Christ are called to a life that is very different than maybe we perceive. I think Jesus takes away the option of ignoring what is going on around us. He says to his disciples, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Not only that you love one another, but you love one another as I have loved you. And how will they know you are my disciples? Because of your love. As I think about that woman lying on the sidewalk in New York, I wonder, do we have the option of just shutting the door and pretending that it didn't happen? Is that love? Do we have the option of just pretending that it must be someone else's problem? Now, I've been to New York. I have a nephew who lives in New York, and I have to say, New Yorkers do have a tendency to ignore an amazing amount of things because there's so much going on around them. But is the sheer continuity and commonness of violence a reason to simply pretend that it doesn't matter? When we hear our brothers and sisters called names in the street and violence done to them, do we just invoke our power and just pretend it doesn't matter? The washing of the feet of the disciples is a sign for us. Do you know what Jesus has done to you? Jesus has given you a gift. A gift of knowing how to live in the world and for one another that is unmatched and unparalleled and incredibly impossible. Do you know what Jesus has done to you? He has loved you and then called you to love one another. And if we are to love like Jesus, which is that impossible thing that we've been called to, then things like race and ethnicity, social status, color, economic status, just don't enter into the picture. Not really. Do you know what Jesus has done to you? Jesus has taken away your excuse and my excuse to reach out and thumb the door closed. We can't thumb the door closed on the hurt of the world or our sisters or our brothers. We can't thumb the door closed on the violence being done to our planet and to our children. We can't thumb the door closed on hunger or hopelessness or houselessness. Because you know what Jesus has done to you? He has given you love. And called you to love. In an incredibly generous and ever-growing way. Usually tonight we have the opportunity to wash one another's feet as a reminder of what it is to be humbled at the knees of another, to cleanse away the dirt, to hold one another in humility. We don't have that opportunity tonight. But we know what Jesus has done to us. And we have that love. Amen.